Dormitibus, Chapter 1, Part 2. The demon charged in after the mares, snatching one up into its enlarged hand by the head. Holding her in the air, it drooled a pool of grayed-out saliva, and four tendrils snaked from its chest, ready to snatch the poor victim up.
Who dares interrupt my evil monologue?
The monster halted itself, keeping his grasp on the mare as he reeled to the side, glaring over his shoulder. Nightmare Moon stared back, unflinching and unwavering. The morphed human threw the mare away, slamming her into three more and knocking them all out cold.
Hunger. Feed.
Nightmare Moon took a step back to ready herself as the monstrous being of hate and anger lunged at her with surprising speed for one of its size. Facing to the side, she made herself physical again, and turned back to the creature. She gasped as it was on her again, smashing its fist into the side of her face and throwing her to the wall in an instant. The integrity of the wall Nightmare Moon collided with was cratered, cracking all around her sides as her helmet was shattered. With her mane flowing free, she hissed at the monster. Disappearing into the floor as the beast tried to crush her with a ground pound from above, she swam up out of the shadows cast by her subjects, as the monster inverted and turned itself around with its amorphous body. Coming at her again, Nightmare tucked her arms up, creating a magical shield on her right as the thing's giant fist came crashing down. With the barrier withering almost immediately, she noticed that the force of the punch caused a part of the floor on her left to blast away like leaves taken by a gust of wind. His hits were powerful, and if she knew the slime by any means, he was difficult to retaliate against, as every cut would just regenerate and fold together with ease. Bending herself backwards to the right, she brought up her arm again, letting the venomous incarnation's other fist slide past her. Her eyes cast upwards when she felt danger come from its back. Two tendrils attempted to swipe her from below, making her limbo back and come forward, reinforcing her own strike with a collection of magic. The beast reeled back upon feeling Nightmare's fist collide with his face, but the intellect and reflexes of the human within worked to his advantage. With his eyes glinting, he shot his head forward, headbutting Nightmare Moon on her rump. He clasped both hands together and smashed the ground, the dark pony once again avoiding his attacks by disappearing into the shadows and reappearing elsewhere. Finding her to be a little ways from the stage, he used his tendrils to boost him through the air and swing both his right arm and three large and sharp tentacles. Nightmare Moon ducked again, this time pivoting herself and kicking the monstrosity off balance. Rolling away, she lifted herself off the ground with a flap of her wings and dropkicked the oozing abomination halfway across the main room of Town Hall. As he was driven through the floor, ponies quickly diverted from his path, getting out of the way so not be hit. One of which was Twilight herself, as she stepped back from the spot that the monster skidded to a halt to and bounced back from. She was confused, bewildered, and honestly really scared. She knew of Nightmare Moon, prepped her mind and soul for the fears and horrors that she could bring. But what was with this other thing? This monster that dripped its own skin and flesh, and stood twice as tall as her, and perhaps a third more than Celestia herself, was such a terrifying thing with scary eyes and rows of sharp teeth and claws. She was only grateful that Nightmare Moon was in its sights and not her. Though one thing did perplex her. Its voice didn't sound feminine, and true, some spells alter voices to disguise them, but in every which way, they always had that tone that identified them as such. This creature did not. Twilight turned back to the fight as the giant predicted and acted upon Nightmare Moon's evasion tactics, actually learning as they fought and grasped her by her leg when she came out of the shadows. Spinning around, he threw her through the tables topped with snacks and beverages, getting down on all fours and sending tentacles from his back at her. Nightmare Moon's collision with the tables was instant, and before she could even recuperate, her opponent had her by the legs. Dragging her back to him, he hung her up in the air before him, punching her to the side and cracking open a window with her body. Grimacing at the pain, she yiped as he ensnared her by the arms and whirled her around to throw her back into the same window. This time, she fell out of it, hitting the dirt with a loud thump. Pushing herself up, she knew that she couldn't beat this thing, not here and not now. She underestimated it, and got cocky with her own abilities too early. Transferring her essence back into her hazing smoke, she sailed out towards her prior objective area, the Everfree Forest. The contorted human lunged out of Town Hall after her, slamming down onto the path that he threw her towards. Looking around when she wasn't there, he caught sight of her mane fleeing into the forest that he awoke in. Growling as his meal got away, he turned back to the ponies in Town Hall. He had to feed, now, because that fight not only damaged him, but it made him even more hungry. The closest ponies that he could get were instantly swallowed up, forced into his body and fed on vigorously. Spitting them back out as drained husks, the human stomach was half full, and right now that was enough to live off of when chasing after the dark pony. He didn't know why he wanted her so badly. Something about her was different, so alluring, so inviting. Whatever magical power or essence she held, he wanted it, and he was willing to kill her for it. Twilight rushed out of Town Hall as the monster fled the scene, giving chase after Nightmare Moon. She watched as it leapt over several houses with a single jump, disappearing and escaping before she could even get a better look at it after the fight. Her interest in it was piqued the moment that she saw it skid up to her in the fight, but now she deemed it as every bit of a threat as Nightmare Moon was. Her evidence was as clear as day in the two mares that lay before her, one a mint green unicorn and another being that candy store owner. Rainbow Dash flew past her, screaming for both a monster and Nightmare Moon to come back, but as expected, she was ignored by them. Spark trotted up beside her elder sister figure, giving her a worried glance before following after her. Twilight, now running back towards her library, looked down at Spark as they neared the oak tree.
Spark, I need you to find anything and everything on the creature. Look in every shelf top to bottom, even if the subject doesn't match it.
Spark saluted her as they slammed open the door to Twilight's temporary living quarters, the two rummaging through the shelves frantically.
Meanwhile, I need to find the elements. Even a scripture from an old book would help.
Twilight let out a groan of frustration as she tossed another book away.
Oh, how am I supposed to defeat Nightmare Moon without the Elements of Harmony? And what exactly are the Elements of Harmony?
Twilight spun around, looking back at her wide-open front door. Rainbow Dash hovered there, glaring at Twilight while the other four mares she met was behind her.
And how exactly do you know so much about this? Something you ain't telling us, Twilight?
Applejack thumped Rainbow on the side of her head, as she found herself with her Stetson hat.
Cool your chest, Rainbow, she ain't no spy.
She placed her hat back on her head, as she eyed her newly made friend.
But you seem to know a lot about what's going on, don't you, Sugarcube?
Twilight glanced at them all before sighing, ushering her female dragon assistant to keep searching while she explained herself to the group.
I read all about the protections on Nightmare Moon. I knew when she'd appear, what she'd look like, how she acted, but I never fully understood the means of which to defeat her.
Twilight cast a projection spell, showing six stones that floated before the six mares.
Some mysterious objects called the Elements of Harmony are said to be the only things that can stop her. Thing is, I don't know what they are, where they reside, or even what they do. The Elements of Harmony, a reference guide.
Twilight looked up at the tallest point of the shelves, seeing Fluttershy holding an old book, flapping her wings gently to sustain herself.
Wait, Fluttershy? How did you find-
The shy Pegasus hid behind her mane as she slowly descended, touching down before the adept spellcaster.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just heard you say elements, and I saw the name on this book's spine. Your shelf is organized in alphabetical order, and this book was put in E by mistake.
Twilight blinked at the cream-colored mare, before shaking her head and flipping open the book.
Alright, let's see. Elements, what do you do?
She flipped one page, then doubled back two when she thought she passed it. Smiling upon finding what she was looking for, she read it aloud.
There are six elements of harmony, but only five are known. Honesty, loyalty, generosity, kindness, and laughter. The sixth is a complete mystery. It's said that the last known location of the elements was in the ancient castle of the Royal Pony Sisters. It is located in what is now the Everfree Forest.
All occupants in the room jumped as something big hit the side of the library. Looking up at her window, she spotted the beast that invaded Town Hall, now attached to her window, and growling off at something in the distance. Jumping after it, he made his way towards the forest Twilight mentioned, and a gust of blue smoke trailed just ahead of him. Seeing him reminded Twilight of the other objective in returning to her temporary library.
Spark, have you found anything?
The purple dragon puckered his lips as she scratched the side of her head.
Nothing really of interest. I've seen a few events in the history books that could be important, but I'm not sure. Show me.
The dragon lifted up the books that she found her sources in, letting Twilight levitate them out of her grip and into the air before her. She flipped to the marked pages and saw a few key things of interest. One book showed a picture of a stallion well before the plague wiped them out, standing in place and bending over, as if doubling in pain. His body was covered in the same substance as on that monster that she encountered, but in lesser mass. It seemed like this ooze worked as a suit of sorts. Turning to the second book, she read into the marked event that happened a couple hundred years ago. A mare filled with spite and hatred for some pony, presumably a mayor or a high official that took everything from her, was consumed by the ooze. She wasn't consumed, she created it. She generated it from the deepest pits of her heart, her soul. It was pure, unfiltered magic given an aeformous form that, according to the article, ran off a ceaseless hunger for a type of magical energy that all beings on this planet emanate subconsciously. It's a powerful nutrient that is needed for most creatures to survive, such as ponies, griffins, and centaurs. Oddly enough, some species like yaks, dragons, and even diamond dogs can survive having that essence leached from them, though their nervous system and cognitive functionality in both the brain and body is impaired until the nutrients replenish naturally. That mare became the same monster that invaded Town Hall, but even then, still, this incarnation was less threatening, less violent. It was focused on the nutrients of a single target, and only after her revenge was fulfilled did the satisfaction kill the ooze, and her hatred was let go. The final book made Twilight's eyebrow raised. It was notes. Published notes of an experiment that was tested by two royal scientists under the order of Princess Celestia. These two mares were doing vigorous research on this living sludge, trying to see what makes it tick, and Celestia knows what else. Judging by the notes, they were attempting to make a cure. But as the research progressed, they made more and more entries in the publicized journal that depicted their progress slowing to a halt. In the end, they abandoned their project, burning the ewes and destroying their research. Something scared them into ditching the whole thing, and Celestia approved of this abandonment of the project as soon as she found out what it was. The details in the journal didn't show what exactly it was that made them back out and destroy everything, but if it spooked the Princess of Equestria, it had to be major. It was something that could potentially threaten Equestria and maybe the whole world. But that's not where the journal entries ended. Another one was made, after a police report was filed for a crash of the first aerial chariot pulled by engines instead of royal guards. There were four survivors in the crash, and they all reported seeing the same thing. A creature, a monster made of slime. A pony within a suit of horrors. One of them dubbed the creature Venom for its toxic behavior and poisonous hunger for living creatures, like a parasite leeching off of hosts, one after the other. That Venom creature was eventually subdued, and with overwhelming force, the secondary scientist that worked on the Venom suit was put down.
Venom? That's what this thing is. But who's inside of it?
Twilight shook her head of any rambling thoughts. She had a focus. Venom can come after she has located the Elements of Harmony and saved the world from Eternal Night. Closing the books and having a location, she ordered Spark to stay behind for safety's sake, wanting to keep her special dragon assistant alive and out of harm's way as she ventures into unknown territory. Stepping out into the night, she found that the other mares were tagging along, much to her chagrin.
Girls, I know you want to help, but I think it might be best for me to venture on alone from here.
Applejack rolled her eyes as she tugged on the thin brown jacket put over her tank top.
No can do, Sugarcube. We ain't letting no friend of ours get into that creepy forest all by the lonesome.
She nudged Twilight as they all jogged towards the Everfree.
We're sticking to you like caramel on a candy apple.
Their protest made the purple unicorn groan, but in all honesty, she was welcoming the company. Not only would going into a forest of unknown dangers alone be frightening, but facing Nightmare Moon and Venom alone would most likely result in her death. She would much rather avoid that. Following her newfound friends in through the tree line, she kept an eye out, as her ears flicked to and fro, attempting to pick up any signs of the venomous project's feral howls, or even an abnormal gust of wind. Even in company, she was going to remain ever so vigilant, for Nightmare Moon would have definitely set up traps and trials along the way to the castle of the Royal Sisters.
I just hope that none of them are lethal.
Part of me is expecting Nightmare Moon to somehow tame Venom. I don't know why, but it just seems like it could be a thing. Now let's get on to our super friendly donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coltard, J10Man, Darkside, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Austin Roland, Magazine, CrazyKiller557, Nike Kruger, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Cage, RuneScythe9852, Elton Norman, Stephen Bingham, Michael Taylor Moore, Dash of Evergreen, Riding Dragonwolf, Ponyman, Tall Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ron and Wandering, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Skyuchia, Leslie Perkett, Jordan Peterson, CrimsonKitsune9, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Needs a Life, Milan Bihan, and many more awesome people. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.